This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, May 10, 2023, The Memorial of St. John of Avila, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Without me, you can do nothing. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This particular passage has a lot going on, but whenever that happens, you never want to get caught up in all the things going on and miss the forest for the trees, so to speak. This passage, when our Lord says, without me, you can do nothing. When we read our scriptures, we have John chapter 13, John chapter 14, John chapter 15. If you know your scriptures, you know that there's sort of a motif in each and every one of those. But when our Lord is speaking, he does not speak in chapters 13, 14, and 15. Our Lord speaks continuously. This is a discourse. This is part of the discourse that our Lord spoke last week. We heard John chapter 14 day after day after day. Important stuff. You could speak of it every single day for the rest of our lives and not get everything. But this is a continuation of that discourse. Our Lord has given us the, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And he talks about himself and associating himself with the Father. The two are one. The theme of the continuation of the discourse is our relationship with this one who has identified himself as the way, the truth, and the life. We have to associate with him. We cannot sit back and just hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says about himself and look at our faith as some kind of a lesson in Christ's personality. The lesson is first and foremost what is expected of us as his people. When we appreciate who Jesus Christ is, then we step back. Well, how does that affect that application part of our faith? You cannot disassociate the application of your faith to what you know about Jesus Christ. This is the message here. We talk about, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. For all intent, I am God. You believe in God, believe also in me. We're the same thing. Now, how do you relate to this? We see this union with Christ. That passage, without me, you can do nothing. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that, how many pagans do we know? People that don't go to church, they don't believe in God, right? And they do something every day. They go to work, they do this, they do that. Some of them do good things. I mean, in a civil sense, from the world's perspective, they make money, they love their family, they go with little Johnny to play soccer and all this kind of stuff. They do all these good things, good in the world sense. But our Lord is saying, without me, you can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing good. Okay, and I'm not saying that their works are evil in any way, shape, or form, but we have to understand that, like St. Thomas Aquinas, where does St. Thomas Aquinas get this idea that there is nothing can be looked upon as good in this world if the ends to the good are not our union with Christ for all eternity? You can love your family. You can raise a family. If you don't take them to church and they're disaffected and they're not going to have eternal life, you've not done something good by raising your family and made them comfortable in this world. That is not good. A father who does that is going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. God in his eternity. You know, your kids are all going to go to hell. They're going to all spend eternity in hell along with you. What am I going to? Not one of you. You never talked about me one time. You ignored me your whole life. I give you a blessing of a good job. I give you a blessing that you could have poured out on your children and given me the credit for them. And you never did. This is what our Lord means. Without me, you can do nothing. You know, we just put a little caveat. Without me, you can do nothing good in the purest sense of the word that leads to salvation. We have to be in union with Christ. This is that whole, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Here he's talking about our union with him. If that doesn't happen, you can't do anything that's good in the eternal sense of the word. Our union with him is one of activity. It is not just knowing facts about Jesus, not just to be able to dot the I's and cross the T's on a Christological exam or a theological exam. We have to be in union with him. It has to be an active union. We have to bear fruit for him. We must. It's not an option. Well, you know, I'm just not called to that part. There are different parts of the body. I'm not called to bear any fruit. Yes, you are. This passage says, if you don't bear fruit, you will be cut off and thrown into the fire and burned. That's the reality of Jesus' message. Our union with him is not passive. And how many, we all know them. We all know them. Passive Christians, passive Catholics. I go to Mass on Sunday. Big deal. Big deal. You have to. You're obliged to. You're in mortal sin. You do God no favors. You prove nothing by going to Mass on Sunday. Nothing. Except you have a habit. That's the only thing you prove. I don't have to prove anything to God. Kind of weird. It actually uses that word in the passage. This is how you prove. You glorify the power. You prove that you are my disciples by bearing fruit. That's what we're demanded to do. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, you cannot bear any fruit without me. Our union with Christ, as I said, it's active. Our union with Christ is the condition of that union is bearing fruit pleasing to God. Not bearing fruit of our own liking, subjective fruit. I bear fruit. I hang out with these people and, you know, I like them and I'm friendly to them. I'm showing them charity. If you're not sharing Jesus Christ with them, and if you're not telling them that he is the only way to get to God, then there's a problem. There's a problem. We need to bear fruit, as it says in the passage, that's pleasing to God. Because the Father is glorified, as it says, in the works of his Son's disciples. This is that active discipleship. This is apostolate. We have to live this life. Again, it's not an option. It is what our faith is. We're going to be answerable for it as we if we don't. Okay, we've got to do the best that we can. I mean, everybody's got to, I would actually say, be a monk or a nun or a priest. Actually, monks and nuns particularly, and religious priests, they really have a trouble. When they're talking about bearing fruit, they're kind of limited. There's a restricted audience in monasteries and in convents. They bear fruit, indeed. Their prayers hold up the church. That's the fruit that they bear. Their prayers hold up the church so that we can go out and make disciples of all nations. So this is us. This is the whole thing about coming to Mass, where we equip these saints for the work of the ministry. That's what goes on in here. You're not supposed to come here to feel warm and fuzzy or to learn something more from the lectionary. You're here to be equipped to do the work of ministry in whatever vocation the Lord has called you in this world. In your families, in your circle of friends, in your acquaintances, and whoever the Holy Spirit might put you in contact with. This is what we do as a church, as Christ's body, a body of Christ. That's St. Paul. Kind of interesting. You have St. John here, the vine and the branches thing. It's really basic. Everybody gets the whole vine and branches thing. You know, you get, okay, you know, everybody can be, you don't have to be a farmer. Everybody knows a tree looks like. You know what happens when you cut a limb off of it. Leave that limb laying, guess what? It's going to die. Because why? You cut it off from the tree. That's really basic. St. John in his gospel is really down to brass tacks, really forest for the trees kind of stuff. Now, St. Paul, he fleshes it out, literally. He starts talking about us being part of the body of Christ. He gets all of this integral thing that we do with him and everything like that. It's a very, very developed idea of our union with Christ. But every now, and it's kind of interesting too, his is really well developed, and it was written a long time before John said this. So John's basically, you know, he knows what Paul said. He basically taking a step back and getting very, very Jesus with this whole thing. He's writing a gospel, last gospel written. He's writing a gospel and he is emphasizing this very, very basic understanding. You start talking about the body of Christ and different parts of the body and everything like that. There's no such thing as a different kind of a branch. It's very simple. St. John's being very simple. Our Lord Jesus Christ was very simple. Without me, you can do nothing. You need to bear fruit. We see that in a very practical way in the saint of the day, St. John of Avila. Little footnote. You got a lot of saints, right? Avila. Avila is still there today. I mean, the population of like 57,000 people. Not a huge city. We got all the kind of big gun saints that come out of Avila. You know, you got St. Teresa, of course, St. John of the Cross, the biggies like that. Literally, St. John of Avila. You mean St. John of the Cross? No. St. John of Avila, who was actually a little bit before St. John of the Cross. There's always saints we kicked out, literally and figuratively, out of Avila. You got St. Priscillian, very 4th century martyr, early 4th century, 308, when he was martyr. The Holy Spirit's doing something in Avila. Okay, that's very obvious. But, you know, I digress. When we look at St. John of Avila, you look at this man, and you see a reality of this whole vine and branches thing. Without me, you can do nothing. We got to take that to this understanding where, you know, I'm the vine. You're the branches. Can a branch make its own kind of fruit? I mean, if you got a vine that makes a, you know, this is my name your vegetable vine. Yeah, this is my pumpkin vine. There is no branch that's going to go off of that pumpkin vine and make cherries. Okay, or strawberry. It doesn't happen like that. That's the simple message. You're going to bear the fruit that I bear. This is this whole union thing. Okay, you can't do. You're not supposed to be doing what you want. You do what I want. Okay, because you're branches. St. John of Avila. And this is not. There is nothing wrong with thinking or contemplating and praying about what we think our Lord wants us to do in this world. It just might be what he wants you to do. St. John, this man's a doctor of the church. Well, he must have been a really smart guy. Well, obviously, he's a doctor of the church. But two different times he went to school and he left without getting his degree. There's no details as to why he left. You know, was he a bad student? Did he, you know, what was going on? But he left without getting his degree two different times. Yeah, he wound up getting a degree. But two different times he went there with an idea. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And he wound up going home for a few years. And then he got a degree in something else. He wanted to make a religious order. And the church in some places was very receptive of it because, I mean, his holiness was very, very obvious. His apostolate was very, very obvious. But at that particular time when the Jesuits used to be good, they were really advancing throughout the world. And as they advanced throughout the world, guys like St. John of Avila, they kind of paled into insignificance. And when you got a big gun like St. Ignatius Loyola doing the right thing and his initial followers doing the right thing, when they were doing this stuff, you got to look at it. You know, why didn't St. John of Avila, why did he get his religious? Because God didn't want that. God didn't want that to go on. He had some future plans for things, and that wasn't his deal. So, you know, this man goes to school twice for a degree. He leaves both times. He goes and he gets another degree in different stuff. He wants to start a religious order. He doesn't get to do it, but he is still a doctor of the church. He's a saint of Holy Church. Why? Because no matter what he thought God may want him to do, God's put him down different paths, and he maintained a life of faith. And it's his life of faith that made him a saint, a doctor of the church. He had a life of prayer. The man was tremendously prayerful. He had a life of preaching that was second to none. People took notice of his first homily. His first homily they took notice of. They're like, man, this guy's really special. He was supposed to come to the new world, to the Americas. He wanted to go to Mexico. And you know, they talked him out of it. You know, because they accepted him to go to Mexico. Man, this guy's going to be great, man. He's got a prayerful life, and he's into, you know, apostolates and everything like that. And he got talked to, and what? Because it was because of his homilies. They wanted him to stay in Spain. It's like in our day and age. I don't like people. The Catholic Church doesn't talk about foreign missions too much. That's because we need to be converting people in our own parishes right now. That's the reality of things. There are Catholic churches in other countries. We don't need to be right now worried about sending anybody from here over there. It's really kind of sad. They're sending people over here. You know, hey, got to do things like that. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. So he had a life of prayer, preaching, and apostolate. There are great saints who had lives that were really focused on each one of those areas. He had some tremendously prayerful saints. I mean, they're saints because of the way they prayed. He had other, Padre Pio. You got people who were known for their preaching. Saint Dominic. That was, that's what the Dominicans are all about, preaching. You got people that were in apostolate. Saint Jose Maria Escriva. Opus Dei. They're all about, engaging in your daily work to spread the gospel. St. John of Avila had all those three things going on in spades. That is very special. That's why he's a doctor of the church now. So when we look at his life and we understand this whole vine and branches thing, like I said, the branch doesn't come up with its own fruit. You need to prove yourself by bearing my fruit. That's what glorifies the Father, what God wants. We should be happy with what God wants. We can spend years of our life thinking that and you're not stupid, you're not wrong. God just has different plans. God just has different plans. It could be anything. People could spend 18, 20 years raising their kids, and all of a sudden their kids aren't going to Mass anymore. I tried my best. God's got a plan for them. Okay, they might need to learn some hard lessons to make them better Catholics. Or he's going to glorify himself in other ways through them. But as long as you did what you're supposed to do, don't look at it and go, I'm a failure. No, you're not. You do what God wants. And a lot of times we don't know what that is. I would actually submit to you, most of the times, we don't know what that is. I'll end with it. Never say what you're going to do because God will embarrass you. In the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost.